your attention for a few minutes. I'm going to read the story in Numbers 22. Number 22 starts off with Balak. King Balak seeing the mighty Israelites covering the face of the earth as they came out of Egypt, a people that were against Balak. So Balak sent messengers to Balaam saying, "Curse me, these people, so that I could drive them out of the land." Balaam was asked to come from King Balak, and so Balaam had prayed to God, and God had answered, "No, they are a blessed people." The messenger returned empty-handed, so King Balak persisted and sent his finest princes. They come back to Balaam and say, "I promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me these people." Balaam told the messengers, "If Balak gives me his house of silver and gold." And God said, and God came unto Balaam that night and said unto him, If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet which I say unto thee, that shalt thou do." Balaam woke up and went with the princes. God got frustrated that Balaam went. So the Lord sent his angel to stay in Balaam's way to be an adversary to him. The donkey saw the angel, but Balaam couldn't. And so he tried to go around the angel, and Balaam smote his donkey. And this happened two more times. And so God gave the donkey the ability to speak. And it said, "When have I ever failed you? Or when have I ever gone against you, Balaam?" And Balaam agreed and said, "Well, I guess never." And then God gave Balaam the ability to see the angel. And he fell on his face and admitted, "I have sinned." And so the angel replied, "You are to go with the men, but you are only to speak the words that I give you." Balaam arrived and told Balak, "I'm only going to speak the words that God has given me." Balaam was speaking of going with the men for a house full of silver and gold. That's why it brings up a point to me that it's so important to follow the will that God has given each and every one of us, even when the world has all the silver and gold for the taking. God doesn't just say no because he feels like it. He says no because there's a purpose which we don't see yet. The Bible speaks of a spiritual narrow path in Matthew 7, 13, and 14. And it reads, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." 14 reads, "Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." I heard a saying once, and it was something like, "It's hard to live easy and easy to live hard. You slack off, have fun, and enjoy every day as time just flies by. But in the end, it's going to be real hard to keep that up. Or you could work really hard for God, spiritually, physically, and live a wonderful, beautiful life." Because living for God isn't always easy. It comes with adversity and war. But I'm happy that I have God to run to, even when it gets hard. In Matthew 19 and 24, the Bible reads, "And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven." Being wealthy isn't wrong. It's the emotions that people let get in the way. Pride, boastfulness, arrogance, disobedience unto authority. Heaven's priceless. We know that God paid the ultimate price. And so he put in place that we need to repent, be baptized, and receive the Holy Ghost. That's the price we have to pay. Not money, not how much, you know, how we earn. Like the season of the year, then the path is narrow and it's not as pretty as the broad path. But everything happens for a reason. God could have put you in a learning season. Balaam didn't know why his donkey was going all over the place or why he was disobeying him. Sometimes our plans get scrambled on purpose so that God's can play out in our life. Einstein had a quote, and it said, "Learning is not attained by chance. It must be sought after with ardor and diligence." So my final thought would you to be, no matter how far off you feel or how much gold and silver you're wanting from the world, it's never too much or too far to ask God to guide you back to the narrow path. Thank you, church.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. Well, I'll go ahead and stand. It's time for our tithes and offerings. We'll have somebody up front here with some plates to collect cash. Have a couple people back here in the back with tablets to collect money as well. And Brother Kenny will be out in the foyer to collect tithes and offerings as well. This evening's first song brought to mind why I enjoy paying my tithes and offerings, and reminds me it's just a small part of what I can do to repay the Lord for what He's done in my life. Because our God is an awesome God. He is a deliverer, provider, protector, and healer. I know He's done that in my life, every single one of those things. And I'm so thankful for that. And like I said, giving my tithes and my offerings are just a small part of what I can do to repay the Lord for what He's done for me in my life. So we'll go ahead and pray. Lord, I want to thank You for being the deliverer, provider, protector, and healer that You are. I thank You for being a part of all of our lives here that are in church here this evening and those that are watching online. I just ask and pray that You continue to watch over us and guide us and put us on the right path to do what is right in our heart to give our tithes and offerings to You, dear Lord, so that we may continue to spread Your word and spread Your faith, dear Lord. All this I ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I give You glory for all You've brought me through. And now I'm ready for whatever You wanna do. I'm moving forward to follow after You. And now I'm ready for whatever You wanna do. Your presence, Lord, Your presence is an open door. We want You, Lord, like never before. Yes, Your presence, Lord, 'cause Your presence is an open door. So come now. Season, Your grace has been enough, and I'm believing the best is yet to come. The cross before me, my hope on things above, and in You, Jesus, the best is yet to come. Oh, Your presence is an open door. So come now, Lord, like never before. Oh, Your presence, Jesus, Your presence is an open door. We want You, Lord, like never before. Your presence, Jesus, Your presence is an open door. So come now, Lord, like never before. Oh, oh, oh. happen. By faith, I see a miracle. My God made me a promise, and you won't stop now. I know a breakthrough is coming. By faith, I see a miracle. My God made me a promise, and you won't stop now. We want you, Lord, like never before. Your presence, Jesus, it's your presence is an open door. So come now, Lord, like never before. So come now, Lord. So come now, Lord, like never.
It's hallelujah, Jesus, Lord, we thank you, hallelujah. Lord, you are worthy, hallelujah. Come now in this place, Lord, and fill it with your presence, hallelujah. Amen, yes, Lord, in Jesus' name. You can return to your seats this evening, and our Esther's Etiquette class can be dismissed. Again, they're going right next door. They've got some tables and chairs set up with Sister Taylor. Amen. What a wonderful presence we feel here this evening, amen. Before Pastor comes, I would like to pray over him and for over all of us, all the distraction that the week can weigh on us, the muck and the mire. So if you would just lift up your hands and pray with me together. Lord Jesus, God, we love you, Lord God, and we thank you, Lord, for the wonderful presence that we feel here tonight, Lord. God, I don't know what your people have gone through this week. I don't know what they've done, what they've said, Lord. But God, they have entered into this place, Lord God, not to fill another seat. God, not to just to sit into another service, but Lord God, to receive your word. God, that you have orchestrated for Pastor to deliver this evening, Lord. God, and I ask, Lord, that however you see fit for it to be delivered here tonight, God, Lord, that it takes place in your will, God, in your timing and in your manner, Jesus. God, I pray, Lord, that all distractions, Lord, begin to leave this place at once, Lord, God, so that way our flesh and our iniquities, our wrongdoings, God, do not hinder the word of God tonight, Lord. God, may our spirits and our minds be cleansed by the word of God tonight, Lord. God, and whatever you have to say to your people tonight, Lord, God, I ask that Pastor, Lord, just is willing to be the mouthpiece, Lord God. Lord, as you are the potter and he is the clay, Lord Jesus, God. And may our minds just be set free from all bondage, Lord. God, and all distraction, Lord. God, we ask all of this in the wonderful, mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's give the Lord one more hand clap of praise this evening as Pastor comes up.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Well, while they're losing their minds over there with all the kids, we'll just thank God for our sanity over here. I try to hurry up. We have a very special baptism tonight that I'm excited about. And I do agree with Matthew. I appreciate what I feel here tonight. I want to just share a thought with you. It's probably no secret that I find myself pretty annoyed with society most of the time. And one of the things that annoy me is we are a consumer society. I've talked about it a lot. The Bible says that in the last days, men will be covetous. Consumption will be one of the number one indicators of the last days. And when everybody and their mother and their five-year-old has a $1,500, $2,000 phone, let's not say that we have money problems. We're consumers. We consume, consume, consume. I just completely forgot where I was going with that, Brother Klein. It might come back to me. So let me read a verse to you. It'll come back. Deuteronomy 30 and 19. Oh, I remember what it was. Part of our consumption habit is church and the word, not the attendance of church, not the listening to the preach word, but oftentimes, I want to say this, and some of you might get a little upset at me. That's nothing new, so. I have a problem with people that are chasing online preachers, and all they do is listening to this sermon and that sermon and this sermon and that sermon all day long. That's a problem. First of all, that's not even biblical. Know them that labor among you. How many times do we got to talk before we stop letting anybody speak into our ears? Like we know them. But see, that's part of the consumerism. And so the consumer society, if we're not careful, we walk into church and we want to be wowed. And if we're not wowed, church was, but sometimes you just got to talk. Sometimes you just got to feed slowly. And sometimes it's just not everything that you want. I'm one of those guys, because we grew up so poor, that when groceries are getting low in our house and I hear my kids say, there's no food, I say, there's all kind of soup in that cabinet. There's bags of beans. We grew up on buttered noodles. We grew up on beans. Don't tell me there's not food. What you're saying is there's not what you want to eat. Now listen, hear me please, if you would. This is a serious issue, not only in the world, but it has bled into the church, that we become inebriated with what we want to eat in service that day. And so oftentimes we miss a lot of what God really wants to do in the ministering to us. I know Pastor Klein's the same way, but I can go anywhere. I was driving, and I might preach this on Sunday. I'm pretty sure I'm going to, so you want to have some broken people here Sunday. Are you hearing me? Don't just leave and drop that. And I drive by this sign, and I see this billboard. And it says, cash for junk. And the Holy Ghost began to speak to me so much, I began to record some thoughts on it, and I'm weeping in my car over this stupid billboard because of what the Lord was showing me. We don't need to be selective. We just need to have our ears open. And so because somebody here, which she disappeared, she was raptured already. What happened to Malia? She got class? She made the decision to be baptized tonight. I'm so proud of her. And I'm very honored to have her mom with her. I want to preach you for a couple minutes just on this simple topic. It's my choice. It's my choice. So Deuteronomy 30, 19 reads, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. That sounds pretty heavy. I call heaven and earth this day to record against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. Wow. I have set or called heaven and earth to record this day against you. He said, God is taking note that I have put a choice in front of you. I've done my job. Now it's up to you to choose. Go ahead and pray for us, Cole.
Lord God, I pray over this service right now. God, I pray that you touch every single one of our hearts, God, and our minds, Lord, and that you speak to us throughout this service. God, and you'll use us for the rest of this week, God, to speak to broken people, God, and just use us every day, God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Would you do me a favor? If your neighbor starts to pull a Hillary Clinton, I apologize. Would you pinch them? If they start to goo-goo the baby, Would you pinch them? The baby's even trying to listen, and you guys are distracting the baby. Our world is all about choice. Every day we choose. You chose to be here tonight. Others chose not to be here. Whatever the reason doesn't matter. As we already know, all the ways of man are right in his own eyes. Anything you say is going to be a justified reason in your mind. This is so, it's so hard because it's so easy. And we just sometimes don't realize how we have allowed excuses to dominate our lives. And you know why we make excuses? Because we don't want to choose. So we make excuses, and in our mind, we think that the excuse is a way out. But that's not according to the Word of God. Now, I want to tell you how powerful a decision is tonight. A decision is the most powerful thing you'll ever do. That's why baptism is so powerful. That's why it is critical to your salvation. Because you are making a choice. Nobody is making you. Nobody's dragging you. Nobody is forcing you. It is your decision. And you choose to walk into the... Now watch, the Bible compares it to a grave. Jesus went to the grave by choice. He didn't go by accident. He didn't go because somebody made him. He made a decision. And you say, but he wanted God's will. And he did, but he chose to defer to the will of God. He said, my choice is not my will, but thy will be done. And so every single day that we live, our lives are dominated. Every moment is dominated by choice. What time you get up? What time you set the alarm for the night before? What the first thing is you do when you get up? What you eat for breakfast, if you decide to eat breakfast, how much you eat, it's all choice. And then you decide, I could preach to some of you right now. Then you decide if you're going to actually be on time for once, if you're going to be late again, as is your MO. Oh, you know, Pastor, the clock just always got away from me. No, the clock didn't get away from me. You made a choice to not be responsible with time. Can I talk to you about choice for a couple minutes? I bet you the clock has never gotten away from somebody who was going to collect their lottery winnings. It hasn't. But see, our world has become very nonchalant in our approach to time and even to choice. And so we become reckless in many ways with how we choose. And so the scripture tells us that the man of God put to record this day that he set before you life and death. Every single time a sermon is preached, we have a choice. If we will respond, how we will respond, it's all about choice. And Joshua 24 and 15, and she's not going to be able to keep up with me. It's not her fault. It's because I didn't give her. I gave her the first two, and that's it. It says, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, then choose this day who you will serve. Because Joshua was helping us understand, you are making a decision. If you're not serving God, you are serving Satan. You are serving the spiritual, the spirits and the principalities and the powers of this life. You don't have an option. If you choose not to go to work, you're choosing to stay home. You might not have said, I'm choosing to stay home today. You might have said, I'm choosing not to go to work. Or you might have said it the other way. I'm choosing to stay home. I'm choosing. If you choose to, I was with Brother Chris right before service, and I got this video call on Google Meets from some chick. And I'm looking, I'm like, who is this? And I remember last week I got a video call from somebody trying to sell me something. I've never gotten video calls before. I could have answered it, or I could have chose to just ignore it, which I did. It's all a choice. We're not victims in this life. We want to make ourselves believe we're victims in everything. We're not victims. It's all choice. Everything you do is a choice. Had a lady years ago who is very, 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 what's the word I want to use? Backslid. And said to me, well, you know, Pastor, the Lord knows sometimes we struggle. I said, no, absolutely not. Your life is not a struggle. Your life is choices. You are choosing to live the way you are. You're choosing to make the reckless decisions that you are. You are not struggling. But she did not want to be held accountable for her choices. The problem is, when we get to eternity, we will be judged by our choices. Every man will be judged according to their works, the Bible says. That is our choices. Now listen, you cannot diminish your choice to be in the house of God. You cannot diminish your choice to be in prayer. You cannot diminish your choice to open up your Bible and read it, or your choice not to. You've got to understand God put all of this in our hands. And he said, choose. Do with it whatever you want. Now, you can't choose one way and then get mad at the results or get offended at God at the results. There are people that are saying, well, if God really loved me, he wouldn't send me to hell. No, you chose that path in your life. You chose that path. It was a choice. God did not just condemn you to hell. God set before you a choice, life and death. And we make a decision, but we don't want to be held responsible for the very decisions that we demand are ours and for the choices that we make. If you ever want to lose your mind, just watch police videos. You lose your mind. There are more victims getting arrested in this world than you can just imagine. And they never did anything wrong. See, they made choices, and they did not think that they should be held accountable for their choices. But you are. We are held accountable. 1 Kings 18:21, Elijah said, how long shall you halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. There's another choice. But this one is a little more unique because he said, how long are you going to linger between two decisions? See, sometimes we want to be stuck and we don't want to make a choice because we don't want to make the right or the wrong one. So we kind of linger there and we just kind of let life just kind of take us over. But that's not what God ever intended for us. He said, I'm setting a choice in front of you. I'm setting a decision. You just got to pick one. It's like multiple choice. You can't just pick none. You got to pick one. Even if you're shooting in the dark, you got to pick an answer. You've got to make a choice. You've got to make a decision. When it comes to obedience or disobedience, we choose. Adam and Eve chose whether they were going to obey God when they ate the forbidden fruit. Abraham chose whether he was going to trust God enough when he was asked to take his son Isaac to offer him as a burnt offering. In Exodus, Moses said, speaking to the Israelites, who is on the Lord's side? The Levites chose to stand with him, but there were those 3,000 in particular that chose not to. They made a choice. You see, the very thing that we live by, it's my life, it's my choice, is exactly right. And that's why God honors, or what's the other word I want to use? Holds us to account for our choices. Sometimes you feel like I'm going to go back to your attendance in the house of God. Sometimes you feel like that it doesn't really matter. It matters because you made a choice. It matters because you could have chose anything. Sometimes You maybe are too hard on yourself because of maybe you fell, or maybe you fell into sin and you just feel like quit. No, no, no. But you still make a choice to keep going. You make a choice to keep getting up. You make a decision, I'm not going to let this stop me. That's what makes it so powerful, because it's a choice that only you and I have. Only I can choose for me. I can't choose for my kids. I can't choose for my wife. Only I can choose for me. I can try to help them choose. I can try to give them an opinion on how I think they should choose. But ultimately, the choice is theirs. And so God says to us every day that we live, God says, I am today putting choice in your hands again. Maybe you made the wrong choice yesterday, but God says you can still choose the right one today. Maybe you chose something foolishly yesterday, but God says you can choose to repent of that today. It's all about choosing. Choice is the most powerful thing that God, that's why repentance is so powerful, because you choose to change your life. You recognize that you can't do it by yourself. You recognize that you're incapable of doing it but God enables us when he fills us with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but he honors that choice. Listen to me. When you come to the altar and you repent, God is more interested in the choice that you made than he is the sin that you did. That's why the Bible says where sin does abound, grace will that much more abound. Grace is more abundant than sin or the nature of it. But God looks at the choice that we make. He's looking at the individual, and he is looking specifically at the choice that you chose. You reconciled in your own mind, in your own heart, that I am going to make a trip to that altar, and I'm going to pour it all out before God. God doesn't see the ugly of your life. He sees the choice. But that's hard for us to understand. Do you know why? Because in our world, people make bad choices, and then we want to crucify them and hang them up by their ears because of it, and then hold it over their head for the rest of their life. We do not recognize that they make a choice to change. Now, maybe some things, maybe you stole from me, all right, you turned your life around, but there are choices that people made that they made, really bad choices. And now the world refuses to allow them to make another choice to try and rectify that wrong, because the world is a very judgmental and harsh and evil place to be. And if you understand anything about God in the Bible and even life itself, you understand that which whatever measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you. If you choose to hold somebody's past over their head for the rest of their life, you will never be free of your own past. And God sees the beginning to the ending. Well, I did that 20 years ago. So what? You're holding theirs against them that they did 5 years ago. What's the difference? Do we decide which timeline causes our past to disappear or not? So God sees it all. It's choice. It's powerful. It's powerful. I want you to understand today. I want you to realize that God has taken note. You don't believe me? Let me go back. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you with whatever choice you make. God records our choices. I'm not trying to bore you. I'm just trying to talk to you for a couple minutes. I want you to understand your choice is more important than the sin that you committed, because you choose to walk beyond that. You choose to put it under the blood. You choose to repent. You choose to change your ways. Your choice today matters more than your sin yesterday. Choice. God takes record of our decisions. He opened the books and every man was judged according to his works. Choice. So Abraham chose whether he was going to trust God or not. Moses gave the people the opportunity to choose. Israel had to choose whether to believe Joshua or Caleb regarding the spies. Everything's a choice. Every circumstance in your life is a choice. You choose right now whether you're going to sit here and hold your bladder or you're going to get up and go to the bathroom because you can't hold any. It's a choice. You choose whether you're going to goof off during service or whether you're going to pay attention. It's all choice. You choose if you're going to boogie out of here as soon as service is over, if you're going to hang around, talk to people. It's a choice. Well, I really can't. You can. You can do anything you want to. It's a choice. Don't say you can't. We get to choose whether we're going to have faith or whether we're going to live by fear. Peter chose to step out of the boat in faith. And then he chose whether he was going to continue to trust the Lord when he began to sink. I said it a month or two ago. Anytime you step out in faith, you're going to sink at some point. You're going to sink. Because faith is walking out into the unknown. For many people, that major step of faith is just coming to church and trying to give their life to the Lord. So why? Because you've got to trust the people around you. But you choose to trust. I've told you 1,000 times, that old adage that trust can only be earned, that's a lie. You cannot earn trust from people that don't know, that don't trust. Trust is a choice. It is 100% a choice, not 99, 100. If Kenny did me wrong, and I choose after he's done me wrong, that I'm going to try and trust him again. That is my choice. Now listen, you know why that's so important? Because our record would hang us out to dry if we had to earn that trust. But God chooses to believe in us. God chooses to trust in us. God chooses to use us. He chooses to put this gospel in our hands. He chooses to put his word in our hands in order to give that word to others. It's a choice. And that's why I found too late in life that you can't lallydag around and beat around the bush when it comes to truth and doctrine. You just got to put the choice before people. We're worried about offending people. We're worried about running people off. And so we never, ever give them the option to choose because we're afraid in reality. But the reality of the gospel is I got to put it in your hands and I'm giving you an opportunity to choose. Choose this day who you will serve. It is a choice, life or death. It is a choice. Jesus told Jairus not to be afraid, just to believe. It's a choice. Faith is a choice. Did you know that? We act like faith is like, you know, going downstairs to the gym and working out and pumping weights. And the more weights you pump, the more faith you have. But faith is a choice. Faith is 100% a choice. Sometimes you get nervous and you get fearful in faith. I do all the time. And so I say, God, I told God 2 Sundays ago. I said, God, I'm not going forward in this building program. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. You're going to have to show me that we're still on the right path. I said, God, I understand only a wicked and adulterous generation seeking after a sign. That's not me, but I need a sign today. I need something. I need something from you. I need something so I know for a fact that we're still right where you want us. And I'm going to tell you, exactly what I asked God to do that Sunday, he did. Exactly. It wasn't something like, oh, let the chair be crooked or anything like that. No, it was people showing up. And so what do? We choose to keep going forward. And we choose to trust God. And when you're afraid, that is the hardest time to trust God. Because fear can dominate you. Fear will overcome you. It will overwhelm you. But you choose to keep trusting in God. The Lord did not calm the waters when Peter began to sink or the storm. He only reached for Peter, and Peter had to still choose to trust him regardless of the storm in his life. We don't trust the Lord just because everything's good. We learn to trust him when everything's wrong. We make the choice. I'm not just going to be a fair weather fan. I'm going to trust him when everything in my world is crumbling. It is a choice. It's all a choice. Faith is a choice. I choose to trust the Lord with all of my heart, not lean unto my own understanding, but in all of my ways acknowledge Him. Lord, I know You're here. I know You're here. I can't see You. I haven't felt You. I really wish You'd pop up and just show me, tap me on the shoulder, pull my ear, do something. But even if You don't, I know You're here. That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. They were threatened to be tossed into the fiery furnace. And they said, the Lord can deliver us. They said, but if He doesn't, we're not going to change our position just because He didn't do what I wanted Him to do. Blessed be the name of the Lord still. It's a choice. Listen to me. Listen to me. Your decision to serve God is the most powerful decision you will ever make in your entire life because you made the choice. God's not looking for perfect people, polished people, prepared people. God is just looking for people that will make a decision. Repentance is a decision. It's not a light switch. You don't just go over and you flip it and you go the other. No, I make the decision. I'm going to change my life and I'm going to start going the opposite direction of where I have been going. It is a choice. Don't diminish the power of your choice. It is your choice. And on the flip side, when we choose not to trust God or not to serve the Lord, we choose to fall in love with the world. We choose to let the world consume us. That's why we will be lost, because we made a choice. And God said, it's your choice. I mean, you understand. Well, no. The Bible says, listen, everything. I'm of the mindset, Brother Klein, that we know in the beginning, the Bible says, after Adam and Eve sinned and they were banished from the garden, we understand now that everything became about their conscience. And their conscience became their guide during that season in the time of history. There was no law. There was nothing. And so I am of the mindset that one day God said, this isn't working. These people are making very bad decisions. And I can't really hold them accountable for it because where there is no law, there is no sin. And so God calls Abraham up into a meeting and He says, listen, we got to have a leadership meeting. We need to talk about the direction of the church. And Moses goes up there, and while he's up there, they made a choice. Well, we don't know what happened to Moses and this man. And so well, let's make us a god. It's our choice. Aaron obliges and make this god Moses up there. But what is God doing? He's giving them the law. Why? Why is He giving them the law? Because God is saying, if you're going to make an educated decision, I got to give you some backdrop to make the decision off of. I need you to know that I'm really not good, and I'm not really not fond of lying and stealing and adultery and gossip. We got more churches of gossip now than, and it's unbelievable. And so God says, as you choose, Kenny, He said, I'm going to give you this word, and this word will help you make your choices. The word is going to tell you the consequences of the wrong decisions, and it's going to tell you the blessings of making the right decisions, but it's still your choice, Kenny. You can choose. That's why when we choose, we don't choose with our feelings, because your heart will deceive you above everything else. We choose by wisdom. We choose with God's word. Sometimes the word's all you have when you choose. Because everything in you wants to go this way, but then you look at the word and it says you can't go that way. If you go that way, it's going to lead to destruction. And so you fight everything inside of you. Are you listening to me? Everything inside of you to go the opposite direction that your flesh wants to go. It's a choice. Congratulations. Everything in your world is in the palm of your hands. Congratulations. It's your choice. You choose if you respond to the word. You choose if you receive it. You choose if you discard it. just like eating. You got to love babies. Put one thing in a baby's mouth they don't like, it's and they're just grabbing out and blah. And just, that's what we do sometimes with the word. Nope, don't like that. Honey, can you come play for me? I'm not going to be long, much longer. When I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I had a choice. Now, I'm not telling everybody to follow my path, but some of y'all, you know, and I'm not saying this critically, because sometimes it's difficult to understand, but you know what, you know where we go wrong a lot? We calculate the costs. That's where we go wrong. And we make a choice whether we can afford to make these decisions or not. When you put offering in the offering plate, you make a choice. Can I afford to do this? Well, I really can't. This is my gas money this week. And so our brain starts to turn, and we start calculating. But faith, you don't calculate faith. It's a choice. I've taught myself, and I wasn't always this way, but I've taught myself, I never, ever, and sometimes to my detriment, look and see how much money I have in my bank account before I give an offering. Never. And I don't just give a dollar or five. Every time, this is what I feel, this is what I'm putting. Whatever the first number God puts in my heart is what I'm putting in the offering plate. You don't have to do it that way? That's my choice. And now I choose to trust God. And guess what? Worked for me so far. I'm not starving. I am losing weight, but it's not because my wife isn't feeding me. It's so powerful that God gives you this choice. And so when I choose to live righteously, it's not because, it's not, can I say this? Now you might disagree with this, but we don't always choose to live righteously because we want to. I mean, the Apostle Paul, he talked about this topic so beautifully. It's probably one of my favorite verses that Paul ever talked about. You know, I would like to do good, but I don't do it when I want to. And when I don't want to do good, I wind up doing good. And I wind up always doing the opposite of what I want to do, and I'm just a messed up mess. But choice. Man, how powerful. What a gift that God gave us to choose. He doesn't drag us to church. He says, if you want it, it's yours. Choice. And that's why it becomes so powerful, because I make the decision. So let me go back to what I was saying. You're not going to always feel like being in the house of God. You're not going to feel like going to prayer or praying at home or reading your Bible. You're not going to always feel like, I'm here to tell you, you're not going to, listen to me. We're not as holy as we like to think we are. We're flesh and blood. And we wrestle against, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. We're fighting these things all the time, and they can wear you out. But guess what? On my worst day, I'm still making a choice. And as for me, my house, we will be in the house of the Lord. How do you know? Because I've already made the choice. Because I'm not going to let my circumstances determine whether I go to church. I'm going to come at you just for 1 second. And I'm going to try and hurry. I'm going to come at you for a second. Some of y'all people, well, my tummy hurts. I won't be in church today. My tummy hurts. Listen, I'm coming at you. I told you I was coming at you. It wasn't a secret, right, Brother Kenny? I announced it. If you make that a habit, there's always going to be something going on in your life. Oh, and you know why we do that, Brother Kenny? Because certainly if you say anything, Pastor, you are just mean, and you're not an understanding person. Oh, I understand very well that you are making a choice to let your excuses rule your life. I've drugged myself out of bed and went to church. I have preached with pneumonia more than once. I have preached with what's the other stuff there? Bronchitis. Well, the vertigo one's kind of hard to preach, and you can't get out off the floor. But I mean, I've preached sick more than I could tell you. I have preached depressed more than you'll ever know, because you're wrestling with junk. You're wrestling with spirits, and you know what you do? You make the choice. God, you got to give me something. I got to go out there and help these people. Right now, I can barely help myself, God, but you got to give me something because I make a choice to follow my word. It's my word. I'm obligated to you, and I'm going to give you my very best, whether it's on a bad day or a great day. It's a choice. We choose, I'm going to run through these. We choose sacrifice over comfort. Ruth chose Naomi's God over returning to Moab. Esther had to decide whether to risk her life for her people. She said, who knoweth whether or not thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Moses chose suffering with the people of God rather than the pleasures of Egypt or of sin for a season. He chose. We choose whether the Lord is going to be our Savior or not. Somebody got, and I hope they're watching, and they sent a message on our sermon from Sunday, and they told me what I was preaching was wrong. And because I made a comment, and my comment, my words did not come out the way I intended them to, and so I tried to explain it to them. And what I said was, I said that remission of sin does not come directly through Calvary. Now hear me. Comes through water baptism. And they said, no, but the Bible says the blood of Jesus for the remission of sins, which it does. I said, but you got to look at the whole picture for a second. As always, Jesus opened the door. But when I choose to walk into the baptismal tank, what I am now doing is I'm choosing to allow the process of Calvary to be final in my life. Now watch, just hang on a second. I know some of y'all get a little uptight right now. What Jesus did is for everybody, but it's not applied to everybody. It only is applied at the moment that I choose this day who I will serve. And so when I choose, Peter preached it. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. He didn't say, well, the blood remissed your sins then. See, it did, but it was an open door. Do you remember when Jesus said to the disciples, he blew on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost? There are some people that think that they received the Holy Ghost right then. They did not. Thank you, Pastor Klein. I'm glad I got someone on my side. They did not at all. That was prophetic. That was purely prophetic. And so when through his blood, we receive remission of sins, we do. But it is applied when I make the choice. That's why Peter preached it. It's not that the Bible's confusing. It's that our understanding sometimes is just lacking. That's why the scripture says, with all thy getting, get understanding. With everything you can acquire, get understanding. Don't go looking for more money before you start seeking more understanding, because money won't take you to heaven, but understanding will. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. The rich young ruler had to choose between his wealth and following Jesus. Mary chose to sit at Jesus' feet while Martha was distracted. Many disciples left Jesus, but Peter chose to stay. And then we choose under pressure sometimes. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We talked about them already. Got ahead of myself. Daniel chose prayer over obedience to the king's decree. It's all a choice. Peter and the apostles said we ought to obey God rather than men. It's all a choice. We choose repentance. The people of Nineveh chose to repent after the teaching or the preaching of Jonah. The prodigal son chose to return to his father. It's all about choice. And last, Jesus chose. He chose Gethsemane. He chose God's will over his own. He chose it. And so, what I would say to you today, that's why we get so excited when people get baptized, because they made a choice. And I can tell you something that I'm sure you already know about your daughter. I know this is a very serious decision for her, and that's why I honor her so much for making that decision. I know she's not making it lightly. She's making it seriously, and that's exactly what God wants us to do. So it's powerful. When I wake up and I say, I am going to be buried in that watery grave today. All of heaven rejoices when one sinner repents. It's a choice. I choose if I'm going to live in sin, or I choose I'm going to fight all of hell. And some days fighting gets tough. It gets tiring, but then I choose if I'm going to go to the Lord and get that strength from Him again. I know you know what I'm talking about. I'm finished. I know you know what I'm talking about. It's, you know, some days you just feel so weary and so worn out. But then you choose to make your way to that prayer room because you know that is where my strength is. I've got to get in there. I've got to get in there. I've got to get to that prayer room. I've got to get to that bush. I've got to get to that Gethsemane. I've got to get there. Have to get there. Marriage is a choice. Now, a lot of times we choose because of our emotions and our heart. You know why God holds us to our marital vows? Because we made the choice, not Him. And in most cases, we even ask God about our opinion and our choice. We made it by ourselves. So God says, don't come to me complaining about them. You picked them. It was your choice. Remember that? Remember the warnings that the preacher gave you? Remember when he advised you to go slowly and you didn't listen? It was your choice. And staying together is a choice. That's why it's so powerful. I don't want to bore you. Why don't we stand and maybe we'll pray just for each other for a few moments. Somewhere around 1990, I made the decision to move out of Orwell and move back to Cleveland when I turned 18. And one of the first decisions, now, a lot of you don't know this, but I had nowhere to move. My brother, he roomed with a guy, and I said, you know, and so I slept on the floor behind the couch for as long as I can think. And then I lived in those community houses. I've done it all. Where you rent a room, and then there's other people that have a room, and then you have a hallway, and everybody shares a bathroom, and it's weird stuff. But I was a young man. I didn't care. I just had a room. I was happy. I lived above the church gymnasium once in an unfinished apartment efficiency. Didn't even have a shower bathroom. I washed up in the sink downstairs. It was a bad choice. It was a bad choice. But I did it. And then I roomed with another guy in the church. And I didn't have a bedroom there either. So I slept on the floor behind the couch. And that got really old because when his girlfriend would come over, who soon became his fiance, who is his wife, and they're still married today, and thank the Lord. You know, they'd be over talking on it long. I'm trying to go to sleep on the living room floor behind the couch, and I couldn't. These are all choices that I made. When I chose to move back to Cleveland and I chose to walk through the doors of the church, there were other things that I chose that I didn't realize. You know, I chose to walk a little bit through some of those tough roads. I didn't whine to God about it. Listen, your choice is going to bring some difficult things along the way. It's just David, he fought the lion and the bear. He chose to do that. Now, that was in his path. He didn't go out hunting for lions and bears. You're going to wrestle with giants. Sometimes it's a part of your choice, but God knows what He's doing. He puts things in our path to mold us, to break us, to prepare us, to shape us, to form us. Your choice will bring other things along. We chose to have children, but we never got to pick the sex. We never got to pick what type of personalities they had. We never got to pick if they were ugly or handsome. Unfortunately, all my boys are ugly. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. My wife would, well, she would stab me in my sleep over that statement. She's very protective of her boys. See, she's thinking of it right now. She's like, I'm going to make the choice tonight. That's right. She said, don't mess with her boys, even me. But we chose to have kids, but we didn't choose all that other stuff. But then when they came along, I had more choices now I had to make. And one of them was, I don't know how to be a father. And there's really no choice that I can make to be a father. The baby's here. It's too late. So I chose to start talking to God about it. And I chose to start praying all the time. And I pleaded with God, you have to help me. My choice was to go get help. And then as our boys get older, their choices become theirs. And then we try to help guide them in making those right. But sooner or later, the choices are all theirs. Now, they may come to me, Brother Klein, and they might say to me, Dad, I have a decision to make. What do you think I should do? Their choice is to seek wisdom and to seek counsel from somebody who's maybe been there, done that. In the multitude of counselors, there's safety. Safety. I told someone a couple weeks ago, they brought that scripture up to me, and I said, safety, not covering. You don't seek 15 people for your covering. Your covering is singular. Just want to throw that out there. Multitude of counsel. So we choose. We choose to seek counsel. We choose to swallow our pride, get advice, to seek wisdom, to talk to somebody who's been there, done that. Choose. So here, I'm just going to ask you to lift your hands. Maybe God's talking to you about a choice in your own life right now. I really don't know. Maybe you got a big decision to make. Maybe God is saying it's your choice, but maybe I could help you. Maybe somebody else could help you. Maybe you're trying to decide whether you want to live this thing or not. It's your choice. Don't let sometimes a difficult decision cause you to choose the wrong way, because our choices always have repercussions. Gracious Father, I love you. I honor you, Jesus. Lord, I appreciate you. I'm thankful that one day you helped me make the choice to walk back into the church. And when I did, God, I chose to let your word be my guide. And Father, from that day forward, I've tried to let the word of God steer my life. I'm sure I have faltered at times. I have sputtered. I have utterly failed, but I chose to keep getting back up, and I chose to keep pressing on, and I chose to keep looking to the hills from whence cometh my help, knowing that my help comes from the Lord. I choose this day who I will serve, and I choose you, Jesus. I choose you. I understand I can't do it on my own. I understand the church is there to help me. The church is there for my strength. The church is there, God, to be a part of the body. But I make the choice to be there. Help us today to make the right choices. Help us to make the right choices. God, it is my choice. And I choose to put my choice in your hands today. In the precious name of Jesus, hallelujah.